October 24, 2020, it's a lot from Pedro's show.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Happy Saturday. I think it's first day of early voting, but maybe an hour here in Pedro. But I think I'm going to go Tuesday because I got two more shows after this one. And they're right at the time when the early vote, we only got one in Pedro, and it opens at 10. So Tuesday I'll do it. Brother Matt, still at the Pleasure Point, Love Grotto, a couple miles south because we're quitting quarantino mode still. In fact, weathering a, what they call that, third wave, second wave, resurge, whatever. So be careful. Don't listen to these assholes. Enough of that. I'm not man alone totally because of the engineers in Estonia with their incredible Skype invention. I got with me all four members of the God in Hackney. Now, through the wonders of this Skype conference call mode, they're not even in the same pad. They're not in Pedro. They're not even together away. They're all separate away. So introduce each one of you and tell listeners where you're spieling from.
Please. Cool.
This is Dan Fox, and I'm spieling from New York City.
Okay. What part? Manhattan?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, of course.
Prospect Lefferts Gardens neighborhood.
Okay. And next?
Okay, this is Andy, and I'm in Dusseldorf, Germany right now.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah, looking at the Rhine River.
I was just going to say, the Rhine River, don't try swimming, it's got a fucking current.
Dude, you can see it. I see it every morning when I'm having a coffee, and it's mental.
Tim Buckley, right, in the Mississippi, the same fucking thing, especially trying to swim with boots on. that's you, Nathaniel. Okay, Ashley, you in Brighton still?
I'm living in Brighton, England, but I'm actually visiting my mother at the moment in Kent.
Okay.
It's all southern England. Yeah,
more a little to the east, right?
Actually, you're absolutely right.
Where did I play? Where did I play? Ramsgate?
You played in Ramsgate?
Yeah, that's where Adrian Sherwood is now. And
really?
I wouldn't shit you, Ashley. I wouldn't shit you.
No, of course you didn't.
What about, and then Nathaniel, where are you at?
I'm in Los Angeles.
What part? Yeah. We're like 150 towns, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of Mount Washington. Next to Highland Park.
Highland Park, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Up the hill.
Exactly,
right,
up the hill.
Right.
I'm still working my way up, you know.
You know, Highland Park, I mean, that was serious hood. The Avs are there. And those are the one things, because the dead ends, you didn't want to turn on one of those because, And now that's all changed. I mean, everybody deserves to live safe.
Yeah.
Like the gentrify thing and the rent hikes and all that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm about 30 miles south of you in the harbor, San Pedro. Okay, now that we got all that together, people, I should say, we started to show off with John Coltrane doing impressions live 1961. The intro got cut. And then, hello, boys. You guys got a new album, man. The God in Hackney. And so, who wants to go? I want to go through all your little music journeys really quick. So, who wants to go first? Who's a drummer? Ashley, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Probably my dad's record collection. He was a DJ. So, he used to play quite a lot of functions and parties. And sort of discos in rented halls and things like that. I used to listen to his records, and because he was a DJ, he felt it was in the 70s. He felt it was his responsibility to have every kind of music covered that people would ask for, all on vinyl. So ultimately, I grew up with a house full of really diverse mixture of music, that's where I got started, really. And of course,
that's
just
your
quickly,
earliest when you think about music, like a little boy. And where was this? Was this Kent?
This was in Kent. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Before I moved to Brighton.
Now, was there in the pad? Was there instruments?
Or was what, he at home?
Yeah, home.
No, what happened was is I showed a keen interest in hitting things, as one does, as drummers generally do. And so once that was established, my parents did try to support me in becoming a drummer. So I probably got my first drum kit when I was about 11. But I have had some lessons, but I'm predominantly self-taught.
Where did you practice? In your bedroom?
I did have a drum kit set up in a spare bedroom. The thing is, you know what England's like. It's not the only place that can claim this, but it is a small island, and I lived on quite a built up housing estate, and people could really could hear drums up and down the street.
Right.
Fortunately, some of my neighbours were older musicians, and they actually approved.
What about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
Unfortunately, the school I got sent to really wasn't for me. It was quite I don't know how you describe it. So it's called a English grammar school.
I ain't asking about school. I'm wondering if you did any music, like in the choir and the band and the marching band.
Well, that's what I was going to say. In the school that I went to, music was really not encouraged very much.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing over here. There's a lot of schools, they cut their fucking arts programs, music, shit like that.
More sports and kind of, you know, those kind of military kind of, what do you call them? Cadet forces.
Academy. There's one in Signal Hill, Long Beach. Yeah, little soldier shit. Yeah. Okay, but you know, sports, that means marching bands over here. So, you know, you can have music with that shit. And sometimes it's really bad. Sometimes it's really fucking happening. In inner cities, I've been to b-ball games where you would not believe the bands.
Yeah.
And bass guitars and shit. Okay, what was the first record you bought with your own money, please?
Me? Are you still asking Ashley, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Blondie, Denise.
And what was the first gig you saw?
Probably, first real gig. I got taken to see some live acts, but I didn't really choose to see them.
Let me tell you, Ashley, on the Watt from Pedro show, there are no wrong answers and there are no hard questions.
Okay. But, you know, my dad took me to see Roy Orbison before he died and things like that. Do you know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah, but first...
Oh, that's amazing.
First is kind of specific. Like, for example, the first gig I went to was T-Rex. Yeah.
Who did you see?
T-Rex.
T-Rex? Wow. Wow. Wow.
Me and Dee Boone, we were 14 years old. And, yeah. Okay, who was it? Was it Roy Orbison?
No, Hawkwind.
Hawkwind, okay.
Hawkwind, mate.
I got to see them. They're a good band. Go-go dancers when I saw them.
Yeah, they're same here. They had girls with body paint and masks. And they... and this was in the 80s. And I can also remember that was, you know, one of my first... I was only about 12 at the time, and my dad chaperoned me. But I remember the funny smell in the hall as well. I hadn't really cottoned on to, hashish and things. But I remember saying to my dad, what's that funny smell?
Didn't they have an album, Sativa or some shit, where the refrain is just hashish, 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 hashish?
Indeed, that's one of their late 70s flashes of inspiration.
Hawk Lord when they were trying to wave it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hawk Lord was good. And Robert Calvert was Side Power. Side Power was great.
Right. Did you do the fucking garage band thing in school? After school with your buddies, you know?
I started forming my own bands at school and stuff. And, most of them were short lived. But I did plenty of that sort of thing. The thing was, again, there wasn't a lot of people around me really that were shared my passion.
Yeah.
Until I met up with Nathaniel, was one of the first people I met really who I'm still actively making music with. But it took until I was about 17 or 18 really that I started meeting people that really shared my interests musically.
Well, that's great. Let's go to Nathaniel next. Nathaniel, your earliest musical memory, please.
I think it was probably seeing Adam and the Ants on Top of the Pops, which was a big TV show for pop music in Britain when they broke through with Kings of the Wild Frontier, and they were doing these really choreographed sort of
lip sync, right? Lip sync, we say here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, if they were, for the supposedly live performance, that was all sort of.
I remember I saw the faces, and they were fucking kicking a soccer ball around and shit.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that happened. People would just completely take the piss out of it. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
But like, I think, yeah, I was very passionate about Adam and the Ants age 5, and had a little record player and stuff like that. But
I got a funny story about that. You know, Darby, the Germ singer, went to England. And he came back with a mohawk, and he told us the next big punk band was going to be this Adam and Ant band. And so we didn't know about them. And the Black Flag guys got really upset when they found out. I just laughed, you know. But but anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, when I started making music around about 14, it was kind of through friends in the locality. So I quickly met up with Ashley. There were a couple of other friends who were very into industrial music, like, you know, Throbbing Gristle and Coil, Nurse with Wound, and this sort of thing. And we started making sort of tape collages and getting into making very sort of improvised music. And then that evolved. Ashley started drumming with us. And we kind of went more into electronic music through these kinds of through a kind of industrial portal. But when we made electronic music, we never stopped listening to all of the post-punk and industrial music and all, just very eclectic, and jazz and all the kind of the breadth of music. You know, we were never kind
music
of
is music
genre. You know.
So the first record you bought was an Adam and the Ant record.
Yeah, I think it was probably like Stand and Deliver 7-inch. Yeah,
kind of the frilly shirts and.
I
played something called Wormwood Rooms or some shit in Plymouth.
Uh-huh.
And they had a picture of guys wearing shirts like that, and somebody wrote Ponce. So I'd never seen this word Ponce before, so I asked the boss, "What's a Ponce?" And he goes, "Look at the picture again." I'm a slow learner. So what was the first gig you went and saw, Nathaniel?
Well, that's probably a bit more. Yeah, that's. I think that was probably when I was about 14 or 13, and it was the Fields of the Nephilim at Brixton Academy. I had a brief goth phase, and I would think that's probably like a, you know, not maybe not looking back, not my favourite band from that genre, but it was an amazing live experience. You know, when they were all covered in flour and coming out of dry ice and wearing like cowboy outfits.
What was that? Halloween's coming up. The only day all year we admit we wear costumes. What was the first fucking instrument you jumped on?
Piano.
Did you play all kinds of shit? Piano? Did you have a teacher?
I did, yeah, Mrs. Walters.
Was it a good experience or a bad one? Because a lot of my guests, it almost made them quit fucking music.
Yeah, sort of like that, really. It was more like the sense of it being some, like, homework or something. You know, I didn't enjoy being forced to do anything, really, whether it was school or, you know, so it kind of, in a way, when I got into making music, it was, any ability that I had on keyboards was just kind of incidental. It was more like just about improvisation, you know. I've never been very technically, you know, gifted, I don't think, you know, but enjoy, you know, just being able to write regardless, you know. So,
What you mean, you use it as a composition tool?
Exactly.
Because Little Richard, he can get pretty fucking passionate about it. In fact, I think rock and roll actually was invented on piano, not guitar. It's boogie woogie and shit. I want to play something from you guys' new record here, Proxima.
We'll smile more. Dying stars will
mirror.
We'll smile more.
Mirror.
Dying stars.
liquor stick, right? Walk for Pedro, show me your proxima, God in Hackney. His name is Alive, piano 5 version. Elwood. God, I don't know how to pronounce this. E-L-W-D. Elwood. Yeah, maybe. Poem. A guy by Voices, Cohesive Scoops. First Voice Plus, Zarchronic AMM All-Stars. That's something I got invited into. 7 Minute to Hannah Lee from Johnny Mark and the Ricks. This has got Frankie Onway. I heard he just, a couple of years ago, died of a massive stroke. He was a guitar man for the Suburban Lawns, which I played Gidget Goes to Hell after that. And they were a Long Beach band across the bridge here on the other side of the harbor where before we were Minutemen, we were called Reactionaries, and we played with these guys. So it's a trip when you find out somebody from a long time ago is gone. So I'm playing some of this stuff. And I didn't know his name. You know, all those punk guys like Darby Crash, right? Frankie Onwe, that was his name. His real name was Rick, and that's why they're called Johnny Mark and the Ricks. He is actually a Rick. But these dudes all had fake names. They thought me and D. Boone had fake names, too, but we didn't. Just born that way. Or given. Dose 1 from Manuel de Combate, Barcelona. Or Hermano Milo, Electrostatic, Electrosonic. This is a, now you don't say Derby, you say Darby. Daniel, Derbyshire.
That's right.
Right, the synth lady from Doctor Who.
Yeah, Derbyshire.
The town by Nottingham, it ain't Derby. It's Darby. Like Darby Crash, but spelled.
Yeah, Darby, yeah.
And then 3 recordings by the God in Hackney. So, Andy, your turn, man. Your earliest music memory, please.
Well, I was thinking about it. I have a memory of being locked in a room by someone who was meant to be looking after me. And then it was quite a small room. And there was a sort of a vinyl player, you know, one of those sort of all-in-one box things. And a 7-inch of Stand and Deliver. And I believe...
Stand and Deliver, you're talking to Adam in the hands again.
Yeah, no, seriously, it just triggered that memory.
So this is the God in Hackney, like, the common thread that runs through the God of Hackney is fucking Adam in the
ants. He just played it again and again and again and again, and I think at some point, I might be making this up, I think at some point she left the room, leaving me in there, sort of forcing me to stay in there, and I think I ended up playing it over and over again as well. I can't even remember if I enjoyed it. I think I did.
I think the band... Malcolm McClellan got that little lady, well, she's a young woman from Thailand or something.
Bow, wow, wow.
That's it. With the cassette, the song about the cassettes.
See you, 3:30.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm going to have to continue with you, Andy, next hour because we ran out of time. It's October 24, 2020. This is Walt Peter, so special guest, God in Hackney. Hold tight for hour 2. October 24, 2020, second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
The turncoat, the meanwhile, the wolfish tender, the nester, the natural home builder. The small eyes can't see it because it's the face, the casual displacement. The other half. In the past you took them apart. Now they take you apart. In the past you took them apart. Is brilliant. The 4 times that it's been the natural home builder.
In the past you took them apart, now they take you apart. In the past you took them apart, now they take you apart. What was that sound I heard? What was that sound I heard? What was that sound I heard? Down in Birmingham, sounded like an explosion. Sounded like an explosion down in Birmingham at the 16th Street Baptist Church. At the 16th Street Baptist Church. At the 16th Street Baptist Church down in Birmingham. Thank you.
must never forget. You must never forget. We must never forget what happened down in Birmingham. Don't ever think it couldn't happen again. Don't you ever think it couldn't happen again. Don't you ever think it couldn't happen again. Down in Birmingham or anywhere else in this land.
the Article 10 of the European Convention of Human Rights. Of the European Convention of Human Rights.
So we started the second hour off with 7-Eleven car park and getting all the etymology on that shit. Et, not ant. Ain't bugs, people. God in Hatton from their new album. And Sam Bennett, 25 years from Birmingham, Alabama to Tokyo. He's been there. And he's fucking recording up. He's a drummer, man, but went to this little three-string thing. Incredible musician. What was that sound I heard? Bombus Prendon after that, a DC band that never played gigs. Just did cassettes. Damn cassettes. Hell's a little ransom. We are the Asteroid out of Austin with Trilogy off their new record. And then God in Hackney, Queens Disco. I played Queens Ballroom last summer with Flipper at the Blackpool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Rolling Stones played there, and they had a picture, and then under it said somebody spit on Keith Richards, so he hit the dude with a guitar. It was like 65 or 64 or some shit like that. And we went on right before the Descendants. I hadn't seen those guys in a while. Good guys. So we're back with Andy's story of music. So did you at school have any fucking choir or marching band or shit like that?
No, I remember distinctly like being lined up and sort of they were kind of auditioning for the choir, and so the guy on piano would just like hit a middle C or whatever it was, and the person was probably higher actually, but and then can you sing that note, and you'd either sing it or not in tune, and if you sang it you got in the choir, and I purposefully sang out of tune. That's how much I don't even know why I didn't want to be in the choir, but I just sort of, I got the general idea that it was probably not a good idea. I regret that now. I wouldn't say I bitterly regret it, but I do regret it.
Well, I got a philosophy like that. Whenever you play, you're investing in playing the next time, so it's never fucking wasted, right, Prack? So what was the first record you bought yourself with your own money?
The first record I bought with my own money was The Reflex by Duran Duran.
Okay.
And I bought it in the local.
I got to meet their bass man,
Ponce.
Who's the bass? Taylor. Something Taylor, the bass man, tall guy.
Yeah, John Taylor.
And really good a bass man. And they were really young, he told me. They were teenagers and shit.
Yeah, I don't have any particular love for that band now, but I mean,
yeah.
I
you know the problem with a lot of that 80s, not to talk over your shit, but it's that snare drum sound, that gated motherfucking. You can't handle that shit. Talk about dating something. There's nothing worse than an 80s snare drum sound.
What's up, Mike? You don't like nonlinear reverb, Mike? What's going on?
What was it called? The XBX90 or some shit? I remember everybody had this unit. In fact, Ethan James used it on our three-way tie for last. You can imagine a Minuteman with that fucking sound. I can't even listen to that, bro. And he got it the day before. I love Ethan. He's a beautiful man. Ended up on the hurdy-gurdy. So what was the first gig you saw, Andy?
The first gig I went to was the Rolling Stones at Wembley Stadium in 1990. Wow.
Yeah,
it was completely mind-blowing, actually. Yeah. I remember. Again, I'm not a particular fan of that band now, but it was mind-blowing as an experience. I'd never heard anything as loud. I'd never been in a crowd like that. Almost since, actually. But, it was amazing. It was incredible. And I remember that they sang, you can't always get what you want. And we just lost the football. I think it was the Europe, some football tournament. I can't remember the World Cup or the European one. But I think it was a semi-final or something, 1990. Obviously, Google could tell us what exactly that was.
You
but
anyway, you
I think it was. I think it was Gaza. But anyway, sorry, I don't know. But all of that. So, yeah, it was amazing. Absolutely mind-blowing. And in fact, I think it sort of had some qualities that would be impossible to replicate in any other gig because of the fact it was the first one. It was so huge and it was so loud. So, I remember it very fondly.
Whoa. Now, what was the first instrument you jumped on?
The first instrument I jumped on was the guitar. The first instrument I was told to play was the piano. And I still play both, but I got very close to quitting the piano because for reasons that, you know, I'm sure a lot of your previous guests have.
The teacher syndrome. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Somehow this is not.
I wish people understood the consequences of that shit and stop it. Fucking shit.
It's incredible.
I heard so many bad stories. Sometimes there's good ones, though, but man, they're like fucking far and few. And then, so, Brother Dan, you're the last cat. But before we get to you, let's play Side of a Square.
To the side of the left side, inside, outside, left side, by walking to the side of the ride by the nice houses when it all fell out. We were working on the inside, outside, outside, inside, inside.
When you call yourself, when you call yourself. Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show. That was the God in Hackney with Side of a Square. Then Surf for Blood with Hell Yeah. Andre 2000. Atlanta guys, right? Boy, big boy. All Souls, Lights Out. We had Tony on a couple weeks ago. Thum with Katabi off their new record. Park Sex Ranger in conversation. Thor Harris, he plays some, he's a drummer guy in Austin. He played with Swans for a while with Rob Harrison. And the Joiner from the God in Hackney. Where have I played? In Southampton, there's a place called Joiners. Because there's all, yeah. Right? It was a prostitute house, and it was also like a kind of union hall. Maybe not at the same time. A dumb guy named Rick put on the gig. Really good guy, man. You know, last few years touring in England, there was another level that was happening with the independent promoters that I was really rooting for.
Yeah.
Yeah, regional guys, you know, that ran their own, these working men clubs and stuff like this, stuff that wasn't really being used. And there's, in Leeds there, Nathan and his mom. Yeah, Nathan and his mom, and just bitch and shit like that. So, Brother Dan, your earliest musical recollection, please.
It's probably, you mentioned Delia Derbyshire earlier on. It's probably hearing like, TV themes on the TV, like Doctor Who and, you know, various sorts of weird BBC radiophonic workshop stuff. And I think that really caught my imagination at an early age.
Daphne, who's the other one? Daphne
Oram.
That's right. Yeah. She had a machine made for her, right? Random, but her last name is involved with the name of it. But she,
where
Delia was more involved with the tape.
That's right, yeah.
And this Daphne lady was more involved with just getting the sounds going. In fact, she adopted the synthesizer, and Delia said, no, fuck that. She got out of music.
So that's probably one of the earliest memories. But I had one of my older brothers, Mark is his name. He's like much like 15 years older than me, and he had an amazing record collection. And through him, at a really early age, I got into things like bands like the Cramps and the B-52s. And I remember hearing Human Fly by the Cramps in my brother's bedroom when I was about 8 or 9, and I just found it one of the funniest records I'd ever heard. I didn't understand really anything else about it at that point.
Garbage Man, did you get to hear Garbage?
Yeah, Garbage Man, all of them. He had Off the Bone, I remember. And
cat, I met him. In fact, he saw the Stooges when they were getting together. Him and Ivy were on the side of the stage. And man, he had a fucking intelligence about rock and roll. He knew all the old rock and roll. Well, he was actually older than Ig.
Is he?
Really? No, he's gone. Yeah, he's gone. He ended up here, and Ivy still lives, I think, up in the valley. Brother Dan, in that pad with your older brother, with all the records, was there any instruments?
No, we had a piano. We had like a really old piano that had been inherited from my grandma, and it was really permanently badly out of tune, but I was obsessed with that thing. Anytime I got the opportunity to open up the lid and plunk down on those keys, I took it.
Now, did you have the teacher hell that your other bandmates did?
Well, no, I was lucky. There was a woman who lived in the little town I grew up in who, she was American actually, and she was just a really calm, sympathetic teacher who just somehow knew how to talk to kids about music. And I really got on with her, and I learned piano with her from about age 8 to 18.
And what was the first record you bought with your own money?
With my own money, I think it was probably, I think the one that comes to mind is probably Birthday by the Sugar Cubes.
Oh, Bjork.
The band that she was in before she went solo. I remember hearing that on the radio and just really thinking, I'd never heard anything like it.
Have you been to Iceland?
Yeah.
You notice not everybody looks like her. I've been there once. What was the first gig you saw?
I was age 14, and it was at Oxford Town Hall, and it was the band Ride.
Oxford, school town.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they had a massive, like a really amazing music scene. Loads of little independent venues and record shops and. At that point, and this would be 1990, there were a lot of really, really great bands playing around that part of the country.
Somebody's making some fucking noise. It's Lane. I mean, there's five of us, so we got to keep it together a little bit here.
All right.
Let Brother Dan talk. I've always wanted to play that town. The other one, too, Cambridge, but I never have. But I've heard about scenes being there and stuff. What was the first band you saw?
Yeah, that was it, Ride.
Ride. Okay. Yeah, I remember. I don't know what they sounded like, but I remember seeing their name. Maybe 90s.
Yeah, that's right. They were kind of, you know, sort of, they were part of what got called the, you know, shoegaze scene, along with like My Bloody Valentine and...
My Bloody Valentine. Yeah, Kevin's great. I got to meet him through Jay. That is a loud... Were they as loud as that?
They were really loud. They weren't quite as loud as My Bloody Valentine, but they were pretty, pretty deafening, especially for a 14-year-old's ears, which were pretty fresh at that point.
Oh, man, what a trip. Okay, so we should get to the fucking question now. We got all the individuals summed up. How did this band, the God in Hackney, come together?
Well, I think Nathaniel and Andy should tell you that, because they were the core.
Yeah, I think it started in about 2003, and Andy and I were living together in Hackney, and we wrote a song. We just improvised this track. I think it was...
I think it was 2001 or 2, actually. But anyway, yeah.
And I think I was, what were you, you were on, you were playing guitar and I was playing bass and...
Well, yeah, if you remember, I had a bedroom in the what was the living room, and so we'd sort of set up a mixing desk in there next to a radiator, as it turns out, too close to a radiator. And we were sort of jamming on, we had the drum machine, guitar, bass, microphone, so we wrote that first track and we picked up, some like local sort of, preacher radio, I can't find the right term for it, but anyway, we picked it up through the radiator. The radiator seemed to be kind of basically some kind of antenna coming through the game mixer.
The short wavy stuff in it is. And then I sort of wrote these lyrics about an imaginary sort of celebrity encounter on the streets of Hackney, which is kind of really awkward. It goes horribly wrong between some bloke and Madonna, who is trying to do some sort of grocery shopping, I think. And, she's trying to buy some fruit and veg, and this starstruck fan tries to engage with her, and then he tries to sit on her, like he tries to maneuver himself around and sort of sit on her as if she were a chair, and she sort of drops her fruit and vegetables, and it's very, very awkward.
You tell me. So that's the first record. What about the first gig?
Oh, God. When was the first gig now?
Is that the Pompidou Centre, or was that...
Yeah, I think it was, actually. It must have been, thinking about it.
You're talking Paris?
Yeah,
unbelievably, it was the Pompidou Centre, yeah.
Where all the shit's on the outside.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds ridiculous, but yeah, we sort of did the record label that we've been running, if you can call it that, since 2000-something.
Junior Aspen
Records. Yeah, we were asked to sort of curate an afternoon evening of performances at the Pompidou Centre, and I forget exactly which year that was. Can any of you guys remember?
2011.
Okay, 2011.
And you were still a duet.
By that point, we'd expanded to having Brother Dan in the band.
So you guys never did a gig as a duet?
No. I don't believe we did, actually. We did one gig as a duet after we'd done gigs as the more expanded band, just because there only happened to be two of us in Krakow that time.
Careful, Bob.
And then I joined and I played a bit of piano on with the guys. And then, you know, we... Nathaniel and myself and Ashley had previously been playing together in a band called Skill 7 Stamina 12.
Yeah.
And so we sort of, you know, we all really enjoyed working together. So we got Ashley in for the first record, and that's kind of how the unit basically formed.
I think it sort of expanded when we were doing that performance in Heihe in China, in northern China. Ashley had sort of said that he'd like to contribute drums, and of course, if Ashley feels like doing that, we were very excited about that. So that sort of evolved.
See, like the first fucking gigs for your band is like in Paris and in the border of China.
These are almost all our gigs as well, Mike. It's been very peculiar. Like we don't play very often.
You're sort of like the Dan.
I feel like a bit of a dick.
No, That's California slang for Steely Dan. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. October 24, 2020. Special guest, God and Hackney. Hold tight for hour three. October 24, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Shines in my broken heart is feeling so much pain. That it will never be the same again. I did everything I could, but somehow I was wrong.
Thank you. later, crumble and collide.
Walk for Pedro show. We start off the third hour with the pub machine from the God in Hackney, cranking with like it was before, a modem in Albemarle with side A of Quest for the Snakehead Tapestry. I think there's going to be like up to part F or some shit. I'll play one in the next editions. And then Crumble and Collapse, the God in Hackney. So, off-air listeners, I want to tell you, we were discussing the God in Hackney, and it's kind of a version of the Dan. where they don't play a lot, you know, but they want to record. Where was this latest record recorded?
New York, L.A.
Yeah, I'd say it's recorded primarily in L.A. and Hampshire, right, Matt? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. It sort of started off from the earliest. Some of the tracks took about, well, maybe something like Crumble and Collapse that you've just played.
Yeah.
That took about 6 years from it being an initial sort of improvisation that we started with in Hampshire with the bass and the drum machine programming and the sort of reverb and a little bit of dubbing. And then we finished that track when Ashley came over to Los Angeles last year and put down the final drum segment and the bass, which is played by Ashley, in the end segment. Ash was over. We did about 2 weeks work together, finalized some final drum parts and some of the structure and sort of kind of nailed the album then. But it was this kind of this album that evolved slowly and then started to gain some momentum.
What you're saying is kind of tune by tune, or was it like you got like basics for everything and then assembly line? It was more like the tunes evolved one at a time.
Yeah, I don't think there's any format really that I can describe. Like it's different in each case, you know. Like so, you know, like Crumble and Collapse we finished last year, and in that same session, Ashley and I did the adjoiner, and Andy and Dan put down the trumpets for the adjoiner in Hampshire like 2 days later, and so that track was done in a week.
I'm talking about like let's go back to Minutemen days. You go in there with drums, bass, guitar, and you do what we call the basic tracks.
Right.
Then you come in again, and it's kind of like a gig in front of the microphones. Then you come in again, and you do the singing and the lead guitar overdubs. That was kind of the old way, but now people trade files and. But all this stuff was in person, so you didn't really fly files over the internet?
No, we did both. We did it. The core of it's been done in person, but then there's a long period where we're sharing files. You can maybe sort of, you know, add a part here and a part there. But I would say the bulk of the work was done in person, you know?
With that track, Crumble and Collapse, for instance, like all the sax work on that was done here in New York. That I have a friend called Eve Essex, who's a really amazing. She's a really amazing horn player, and I worked with her on that. So we did that separately here in New York, but then sent the files to Andy and Nathaniel, and they kind of dropped it into the track.
Is there any demos involved?
I mean, in a way, the demos are sort of part of the process of writing, aren't they, Nat? I mean, like, yeah. It's sort of, everything starts as a demo. Pub Machine took 12 years, didn't it? I think so. I think it took 12 years from the very first thing that I have somewhere in the studio, which is called Lovely, 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 Lovely. And right. That was 12 years ago.
Well, maybe if we hadn't spent 11 years in the pub, we might have done it sooner,
That's true. Well, you know what Orson Welles said, right? Some of his last work, no wine before it's time.
Right. Well,
some fucking two-buck chuck, bottle of Parmesan, fucking swill. Right? I want to play here, General of the Internet.
Internet, and not a foot soldier moving peanuts around a jam jar. and not a furry quadruped or hominid
or bird plumber.
I am the general. I am the general of the internet, and not a foot soldier moving peanuts around a jam jar, and not a furry quadruped or hominid or bad plumber.
Your body, so make up your mind. The end may be bloody, and that's being kind. We expected the worst and knew we had to leave her, so we connected the clocks to a gas can and a fuse box and grunged her somehow. My sweet cosmic child, they've stolen your name. The order's defiled. We'll live in the flame. The world feeds upon and summon the dawn to grind Sir Salvan.
Oh, like a polka and vinegar tone.
Like it's keeping, you know, it's like not killing the thing, because I think a lot of these processes that you're talking about can also, you know, can take you in the direction just of overworking or over laboring things. So it's, although the process might be quite convoluted or sound ridiculous.
No. You know, I do the same thing when, you know, I do a lot of composing on the bass. I don't have the right tune realized. That stuff, I make choruses, verses, bridges, all that shit. But it's more in the sense I'm trying to have a launch pad or a springboard for the collaborators to take it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and I think that's what you cats are trying to do too. Or not trying, you succeeded, because I love the record. I think you done fucking happened. I should tell the people, last music for this edition, General of the Internet. You know, I've made albums with people I've never even fucking met because of the internet, so it's not all bad, people.
No.
It's like a steak knife, you know? You can stab your buddy, or you can, you know, get your chow going. It's fucked up that way. The dangling duality, right? God in Hatton. And Human Hearts, that's Brother Franklin. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago. Grandes Sir Salvam, he's doing some French on it. So. The Chef Cooks Me from Tokyo with Que Sera Sera, that was some French title. The Chef Cooks Me. I love that name for a band. You know. And then The Hawk out of Iowa City with What Happened to Them. And finally, something that ain't from the record that's before, Holt Jamara, The God in Hatton. Right? That wasn't part of the album. I found that on... I found a video to it.
There's two videos, actually.
Well,
there's two versions of the video.
Yeah, I'm not. Okay, I'm kind of lacking. I wasn't a completist. I saw one, though, and I got the music from it there. And then there was another thing, too, that I saw that was live that you did actually at Ookla, I think, or maybe the Hammer in Westwood. What's it called? Sooty song.
Yeah, the Hammer, yeah.
Sooty song.
Yeah, that's actually the last time we played as a proper live set together. And yeah, the whole, I think the whole performance is online, right?
I just saw Sooty song. And Sooty.
No, I mean, we've got the whole performance, but we haven't. I mean, we haven't put it online, but I think the Hammer might still have it online. I don't know.
On YouTube.com, there is one tune from it, and people are like roaming around, and you guys are going to town, and you guys are playing great and shit. And the Sooties, the Sooties, I think that's what fucking Elvis, his ma called the feet, because in the that book, fucking, there was some hatchet job book where. Like, Elvis starts crying right at his mom's funeral, the little sooties, because I guess soot got on the feet, like the little sooties. And that's a weird connection. You know, that's what music's for, or arts in general, I think, is some kind of fabric to bring us together without really having to have a fucking boot on the throat. This came out at the beginning of the month, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's out now.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's on our Bandcamp, right?
Yeah. I want people to know how they can find you on the internet.
So the best place to go at the moment is to go to the God in Hackney Bandcamp site, and the orange and black Eclipse vinyl is available there, and also the digital is, of course, as well. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
So and that's the God in Hackney.bandcamp.com.
Right. THEGODINHACKNEY .bandcamp.com, people. Yeah. Because I went to Junior Aspirin website and it's a no-go.
It's not up there yet, no.
Yeah. So go there. I like the Bandcamp people. I think they treat bands probably better than anybody on the internet yet.
Yeah.
So,
they've been good. They've been good to us, and they're decent. And it just makes it easy.
Okay. Speaking of music, if you only had like each one of you four, 10 seconds to give advice to somebody from the next shift getting into this,
what advice would you give?
I would say trust your instincts and revisit the music that you listened to when you were 16.
Okay. Well, unless it's Adam and the Ants, obviously. I just think there are no rules, and there's no to not, you know, it's just a way to process all feelings and to kind of exteriorize anything that you're experiencing, and to feel confident, you know, in what you can do regardless of your ability.
That's good too.
I would say music's about community, and it's about, you know, it's about friendships and those kind of bonds, and that's really a really important part of making music.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. I mean, motherfuckers who use John Coltrane's Giant Steps to cut each other. What a bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
You know, fucking. We're missing one, right? That's three of them. Ashley, please, bring it.
Yeah. Oh, well, what can I add to that? Let me think. Yeah, I don't know. I just like, it's good to have your own, you know, your own voice. You know, don't listen to others. Just try and create your own, you know, just be, you know, it's all been said before. Be yourself, really.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, trip on this. You can write a novel and not invent one word and still be very original.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for the validation. Look, it's been a big honor. When you guys make another record, please don't take as long.
We'll try. Well,
and especially now, you got time on your hands and shit. And I got these friends, the Galaxy people in Joshua Tree here. 18 records they've done in the lockdown. I shit thee not.
That's wrong.
Respect for the Queen's language. And but please bring it, because I love what you're doing. The band is trippy, man. It reminds me of Lemon Kittens. Fucking
thanks so much, brother. Well, that's been great.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay. Love you, Mike. It's been October 24, 2020 edition of Water Pedro. So keep your powder dry.